Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, as you probably know, we have broken into our series in Colossians in order to take a few days to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Christ, and particularly to look at the announcement, the Annunciation, as it's generally called, of the angel Gabriel when he came to Mary to tell her that she had been chosen by God to bear the Christ child. This announcement is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And as we work through the announcement, we can learn a number of things about Mary and a number of things about God, and hopefully apply a number of these things to ourselves. We have previously noted in verses 26 and following that Mary was the object of gracious privilege, born of David's royal line, visited by the angel Gabriel. Those two things in itself speak of gracious privilege, because those two things don't apply to most people, do they? Born of David's royal line, visited by the angel Gabriel, one of the highest-ranking angels, favored by God, as Gabriel himself says, "Rejoice, highly favored one, favored by God, the Lord is with you, you are blessed among women, not above women, you are favored by God, not full of grace, that is, filled with grace to the extent that sin is pushed out and that you become a vehicle to dispense grace yourself, apart from God dispensing it through you as he does through all his children. You understand that, don't you? But she was certainly selected to inestimable privilege. And we want to talk a little bit more about that on the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, December 26. Thank you for your gifts that keep us teaching on this station. And would you consider a special year-end gift for the Beacon Broadcast? Now I read, beginning at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Well, Mary, as we read, was obviously uncomfortable with the announcement of the angel Gabriel. We read in verse 29, "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying." And the discomfort was not simply the discomfort of being found in the presence of an angel, which generally brought discomfort to others who are recorded in the Bible of having had an angelic visit. But she was clearly, according to the words of Scripture, uncomfortable with his saying, what he reported to her. She was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was, which is why he came back with these words of reassurance in verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You have found favor. You have found grace. Like Enoch of old. Like Noah of old, who found grace in the sight of the Lord. Mary has found grace. Grace, of course, comes from God. Grace, of course, is by definition undeserved favor. But Mary has become now the recipient of undeserved favor from God. There's nothing about human beings and their worthiness that calls forth God's favor to them, because God's grace is, and I keep repeating this, undeserved. And it was just as much so in Mary's case as it is in your case and mine. Now, we can look at Mary and find a lot of things that are admirable, and we can say perhaps this is the reason God chose her for this unique privilege and responsibility. It was because of her godliness, and there's real evidence of that. It was because of her innocence, and there's certainly evidence of that. It was because of her lineage. She was in David's royal line, which is also true. But of course, then the question for all of these things is, how did that come about? Was that Mary's responsibility? Was that Mary's cleverness or good works or whatever that put her in David's royal line? Of course not. And really, all of these things you can trace back ultimately to God. It is God's favor upon her that produced even the good qualities and the necessary qualities that we can observe as we consider the appropriateness of this selection. And therefore, we realize in Mary's case, as in the case of all of us, this grace that came to her, this favor, was not because of who Mary was, it's because of who God is. She was not chosen ultimately because she was godly. She was godly because she had been chosen. And that, of course, presupposes that you understand that this choice didn't originate at the time of the angelic announcement. Gabriel didn't come from the throne of God and say, God just made a choice. God just made a decision. He's been wondering for a long time who he would choose for this task, and he's just lately decided to choose you, Mary, and he sent me down to tell you that. Nope. When God chose Mary, he chose her before she was born. He probably chose her, undoubtedly chose her before the world was created. God's choices go way back. And it is these choices that represent the grace of God, the favor of God, that produce the qualities that God is going to utilize for his purposes and his glory. So I say it again, Mary was not godly, or was not chosen because she was godly. She became godly because she was chosen. But she certainly was selected for inestimable privilege. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Wow. Inestimable privilege. She has been chosen to conceive and bear a son. Which son, she will learn more about in just a moment by the other things that the angel says. But she will bear a son. She's already reeling, no doubt, at that announcement, because it seems clear to her that the angel is saying, this is going to happen immediately. You are going to conceive in your womb and bear a child. And she's, you can almost see her waving her hands and saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm betrothed, but not married. I'm not going to come together with my betrothed husband for several more months. I have never known a man in a sexual way, and therefore, how can this thing be? And that's the sort of questions that are arising in her mind. But the angel tells her that she shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. That is an earthly name, and it's not unique. Christ is unique. There's only one of those. Jesus, that is, people who bore the name Jesus, were I wouldn't say terribly common, but we find several others in the Bible, and certainly many, many others down through history. In fact, in Hispanic cultures today, it's not uncommon at all to find someone who bears this name or the Spanish pronunciation and equivalent of it. But you shall call his name Jesus because the name does have special significance. It has the concept of salvation or Savior, one who saves, though it really points that salvation not so much to the person who bears the name, but to God who accomplishes the salvation. Jehovah is salvation. This is really a Greek form of the name Joshua from the Old Testament, and that has the idea of Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. But we are told, you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. She has no idea at this point how great. She's going to learn that out over a period of time. But she realizes that she has been selected to bear someone of great magnitude, great significance. There are incredible details that have already been given to her that are mind-boggling, and she has been chosen to bring this great being into this world, this great personage that God is going to use in a powerful way. And she's standing there, or seated, I don't know what she's doing when Gabriel says this to her, and is probably thinking, how improbable that I should be the one chosen for this. I, who am an obscure Jewish girl, have become the object of divine favor in such a way, am becoming the instrument of the incarnation of God's Messiah, can it possibly be? And can be the one who is chosen to be, as it were, the pivot point in the history of God's salvation, to finally bring to culmination that which has been promised for centuries. How improbable that God's grace should come to me in this way. But, if you will understand it, how improbable that God's saving grace should come to sinners like you and like me. Just as improbable. Yes, in Mary's situation, we can see how this divine grace that privileged her in this particular way is so incredibly improbable, and she makes note of that. But can you understand, if you are a child of God today, how improbable it is that that should be true? Do you understand that? The magnitude of this privilege, the undeserved nature of this privilege, how improbable it is that you should be an object of God's grace in this way when so many multiplied millions, yes, billions are not? Why you? How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? How can it be? Well, that's the way Mary was feeling at the moment of this announcement. That's the way all of us should feel when we come to understand what really is involved here. We may not understand it at first when we're first saved, but as we read the scriptures and understand a little bit more of what's going on here, we should come to understand how improbable that I should be a recipient of such grace, and we bow our heads in worship and adoration. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.